circuses on the air.
The president doesn't.
Sometimes you feel like
that means that it is not illegal.
Sometimes you
don't. Tear down this wall.
Here's Jennings.
Hey, Luke. May the force be with you.
It was you, Kristen, who shot J.R.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
We're not gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
China's been waiting a long time to take the reins.
My name is Dave Letterman. Last night, I became a father. Thank you very much.
Today, Apple is going to reinvent the phone.
George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
And now, this is history.
You're going to need outstanding hosts.
With Dave Plyer.
It's a guy, but I love you.
And Dave Schwann on 720 WGN.
Good morning, Mr. Dave Schwann.
Well, good morning, Mr. Dave Plyer.
37 degrees outside on May 7th. Not enjoying this. Although we sat outside yesterday for a little while, it was not horrible.
Well, the
I
sun
guess.
Was out, the wind had died down. I'll tell you, that wind on Friday.
Oh, that was killer.
It cut me in two.
I just know we're a couple weeks away of having some warmer thoughts on our minds.
But you know what? We should have been doing this a month ago.
I know. I don't know what it was. Maybe it was about 4 years ago that I remember planting everything in like mid-April, and the heat never stopped. It was gorgeous.
Yeah.
We were spoiled, I guess.
Well, I think this is, we need Tom Skilling or Mike Hammernick or somebody to explain every last detail as to what's going on.
Yeah.
But I have a theory that this is the price we pay for a mild winter.
Yeah, that's true.
Winter wasn't bad.
We've been lucky.
It wasn't bad.
Yeah, you're absolutely
right. Not a great, almost no snow from the first of the year on, except for one larger storm. Not a great deal of super cold weather. So here we are.
Yeah,
it's just kind of coasting.
Yeah, exactly.
Just kind of coasting. And
exactly.
Then all of a sudden, it'll be 90.
It will be before you know
it'll
it. You got it.
Is everything else good?
Everything else is fabulous. I was looking on Saturday and seeing these reports all over that it was the 80th anniversary of the Hindenburg disaster. Which I know you covered, Dave.
Who do you think I am, Herb Morrison?
Yeah, so this was...
For all you young broadcasters out there, he's the guy that yelled at Burst Into Flames, Oh, the Humanity.
Yeah, that's right, which we're going to play
and
in a little
for
bit.
And for WLS.
For WLS, of course, yeah.
Oh, we mentioned the call letters of another
It's
radio,
okay, so. Yeah, we'll be all right, it's fine. They're like number 35 in the ratings. All right, so the German Zeppelin Hindenburg. The German Zeppelin Hindenburg burst into flames as it noses toward the mooring post of the Naval Air Station in Lakehurst, New Jersey on May 6, 1937. 35 people on board and one crew member were killed. Why was WLS there? Was this just he was just reporting live on this
Actually,
momentous
it was,
occasion?
It wasn't
or?
Live.
No, you're right. It was taped.
It was being recorded.
Yeah.
And it, actually on the big transcription discs, as there wasn't tape quite yet in the 1930s. But it was just an event where they were going to record. This was a big deal. You know, these Hindenburgs, these lighter-than-air Zeppelins that were flying over. And Chicago was in the running to have a mooring station somewhere over the lake.
Yeah.
And so my guess would be is that they wanted to report on what it was like, and the way it came in and how it would be docked and how the people would disembark and that sort of thing.
Well, the vision of these airships is what really they call them. It was to be this elegant passenger vehicle, like just a luxury way to get from one destination to another.
And it was quite nice, up in
the pictures
in the cabins.
I saw.
Yeah, it was quite nice. And, to see these big aircraft floating in the air would have been pretty majestic.
But it ever forever linked hydrogen, as highly flammable and really no longer what they thought was going to be kind of a clean fuel source. To get people there.
Right. Yeah. And the fact that apparently there was some lightning, a static charge in the air, and evidently that's what did it in. A terrible tragedy.
Let's take a little listen to that WLS report from 1937.
stripe, ladies and gentlemen, the smoke and the flames now, and the flame is rising to the ground, not quite to the mooring mast. All the humanity and all the fans are screaming around me. I don't ever talk to people whose friends are out there. I can't talk, ladies and gentlemen. Honest, it's just laid down massive smoking wrecking.
There you have it.
He was describing the Hindenburg as before the explosion. The thing that is amazing to me, Dave, is the way that he his knowledge of it and the way what was happening. If you listen to the description prior to the explosion, he goes on for a good 5 minutes or more. He just keeps talking and doesn't drop his voice, doesn't stutter. He doesn't, you know, he's not at a loss for words.
But, I mean, there was no visuals. I mean, it's what we're doing now on radio. I mean, there's no visuals, so you really had to give that complete description of what was going on, of course, right?
That's exactly right. Yeah. That's exactly right, yes.
You know what this week also is, Dave? 1970, Ernie Bank hits his 500th
home
run. I love that. I love hearing
I do have a history item for you, but continue with Mr. Banks, please.
Well, it's best.
What's the anniversary?
It's 1970. It was all the way back in 1970 when he hit his
47. Then,
yeah, exactly. And this
was in eighth grade.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, and they could not keep us quiet in the class.
I was three.
But, that afternoon, everybody was all excited, and I as I recall, it was either the word got out before school was over that he had done it, that he had hit his 500th.
And it was anticipated. I mean, it was coming.
We
all know it was coming.
And I ran home. My school was not far away from our house, so I ran home and turned it on probably Jack Brickhouse doing the 10th inning program, post-game show.
Yeah. Well,
and
best to hear.
Of course, that's what they were talking about.
Best to hear from Jack himself. Here he is.
Jarvis fires away. That's a fly ball. Beat the left hack. Back. That's it. Hey, he did it. Ernie Banks got number 500. A line drive shot into the seats and left. The ball tossed in the bullpen. Everybody on your feet. This is it.
I love hearing that. And we had Pat on last week, his wife on last week, talking about the new Jack Brickhouse restaurant going in at Wrigley.
How is she?
She's doing well. You know, I think I told you this. I saw her last October when I was on business in Phoenix.
Yeah.
And she looked good. You know, she's remarried out in Phoenix.
Said, yeah.
And
what a wonderful person.
Yeah.
And a generous person. Very, very thoughtful, and once you are her friend, you're a friend for life.
Yeah.
She's a wonderful person.
Yeah, you know, and she's going to be back in town. She hasn't been back in a while, and she'll be back for the opening, which should happen. They're trying to get it open, obviously, for the season, but I'm thinking maybe July, August, something like that. You know, we've got a little time on this, but we'll see what happens. Here's a little bit of Jack talking about Ernie Banks in an interview that was done in 1995, a few years before Jack's death. Let's take a listen.
Well, my favorite Cub of all time, of course, is Ernie Banks. I was there for his 500th home run. And Ernie was the kind of a fella who could be so contagious. His enthusiasm was so great. He'd take you along with him. They tell one great story about Ernie over in Dubuque, Iowa, some kind of a fan club wintertime dinner. And this one fellow said, my 8-year-old boy is going to be brought over here by my brother pretty soon. And he's a big Ernie Banks fan. And we were at Wrigley Field last 4th of July, and you were playing the Phillies, and you got a home run in that first game. We got lucky. We got good box seats near the dugout. And so, boy, we were really privileged to be near that home run. Now in comes the 8-year-old, and they bring the 8-year-old up to meet Ernie. And Ernie looked at him and he said, excuse me, but were you at Wrigley Field last July the 4th? I started to get a little, yeah. He said, were you sitting near the dugout? He said, well, yeah. He said, in that first game against the Phillies, when I got a home run, he said, I swear that I got that home run on account of you being there. I said, you know, this kid looks like a good luck charm to me, and I'll bet you I can hit one for him. Well, now, if that boy lives to be 9,000 years old, do you think he'll ever forget Ernie Banks?
That's awesome. That's awesome.
That was Mr. Cub.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Just a few years before that, Dave, you know, America's favorite lunchtime food snack, SpaghettiOs, was born. Let's take a listen.
SpaghettiOs. It's the greatest invention since the napkin.
Yeah, I just want to hear a little uh-oh spaghetti over.
I remember that spot.
Yeah, right?
I remember that
yeah,
spot.
Exactly. fast forward a little bit, 1981, Pope John Paul II shot and critically wounded by a Turkish gunman in St. Peter Square. Let's listen to that original news report.
A terrible quiet fell on the thousands who were gathered at St. Peter Square at the Vatican today. A shocked quiet. 10,000 or more had come to receive the blessing of Pope John Paul. Instead, amongst the cheering and the peal of bells announcing the arrival of the Pope, they heard gunfire and saw the Pope turn pale and collapse, bloody, into the arms of his aides. Pope John Paul II had been shot. A Turkish terrorist who had threatened to kill the Pope 2 years ago is being held tonight by Italian police, the main suspect in the shooting.
Sounds like Dan Rather.
It is Dan Rather.
Yeah, Dan Rather, with the typing in the background.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you can hear the typewriter.
I would
IBM
like you to
selector.
Play that in the background of your newscast at 5 o'clock.
I'll have to find it on
yeah.
YouTube.
Yeah, you'll have to. I know, because there's no typewriters around here, obviously.
Although, you know, with the way things are today, if you type in the sound of a typewriter on YouTube, your likely reply will be, what's a typewriter?
That's right. No, you're totally right. All my kids are fascinated every time they see it in an antique store. Like, wow. So what if you made a mistake? What if you wrote something and you had to rewrite it? Well, you'd have to rewrite it.
Yeah.
You know, that's just how it went.
There was a thing called whiteout.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You remember
but, I mean,
that?
But even when... Yeah, speaking of which, I think we're going to have Mike Nesmith on in the next couple of weeks.
Oh, great.
From the Monkees, whose mother invented whiteout.
She did?
Yeah, that's how Mike Nesmith made all his money, really. It wasn't so much he made it from the Monkees, but yes, no, it was mom.
Wow.
See? Look at that connection there. You learned something today. I never teach you anything, Dave, because you know it all. You do.
No, you just did teach
See,
me
look
something.
At you. Look at
here's
you.
Here's an historic item. You may have this on your list, although we're up to the 1980s now. But it was 72 years ago this weekend that Germany surrendered to the Allied forces and thus ending World War II in Europe.
Wow.
In France, 72. In a little town called Reims, France. The documents were signed with a representative for General Eisenhower. And I understand, I just found this out, that the representative for Russia, the Soviet Union at the time, which we were fighting with, you know, against Hitler,
right,
didn't have the authority from Stalin to sign the document. He went ahead and did it anyway. Well, as soon as the higher-ups in Moscow found out about it, this guy was taken away and was never seen again.
Wow. Wow.
How about that?
That's a good one, Dave. That was a
so
good one.
72 years ago today.
But our boys came home.
From Europe.
Yeah.
I found out this recently as well. A gentleman who was in Europe during World War II told me that while, even though the war was ending in Europe, we were still very much involved in Japan.
Oh,
and
the
atom bomb was very much a top secret. They were just going to ship the guys over from Europe to the Far East to continue the fight.
Somewhere else, of course. Yeah, of
so
course.
So it really wasn't entirely over for them.
72 years ago.
72 years ago, yes.
I have a couple of sports things as well. 1985, Michael Jordan was named NBA Rookie of the Year. 1988, Mario Andretti records the fastest Indianapolis 500 lap at 221 miles per hour. Holy smokes. Holy smokes. It was also the last broadcast of Cheers this week on NBC.
Oh, sure.
So here are some normisms. Let's take a listen.
Afternoon, everybody.
Norman?
Hey, what's happening, Norm?
It's a dog-eat-dog world, Sammy, and I'm wearing milk-bone underwear. Afternoon, everybody.
Hey, Mr. Peterson, Jack Frost nipping at your nose?
Yeah, now let's get Joe Beer nipping in my liver, huh? Afternoon, everybody.
Norm! Hey, how's life treating you there, Norm?
Beats me. And it kicks me and
Leaves me for dead. Good afternoon, everybody.
Hey, Mr. Peterson, got room for a beer?
No, but I am willing to add on. Evening, everybody.
No. What's shaking, Mr. Peterson?
What isn't? Evening, everybody. No.
Hey, so what's going down now?
My blood alcohol level.
All right, we'll be right back.